Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello, hello. What's happening, Smith?
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Webb, this is Wager Maker Podcast number 32 already. I can't believe it.
32, but you got to go with Magic Johnson, right?
Magic Johnson, man. What about – I know it's a little before our time, but I think it's pretty consensus that Jim Brown's about the baddest.
Yep, I'm down
about
with
the baddest mofo around. He was even during that national championship game, they pulled out some of the best college football players. They had Earl Campbell and Herschel Walker, and Jim Brown was even up on stage with a few of the other guys. Even your boy Roger Staubach. Even your boy Roger Staubach was out there.
Captain America.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking Cowboys.
Captain America.
Cowboys. Yeah. Obviously Magic Johnson.
Same thing the fucking Saints were doing, Cowboys. Wait a minute about the Cowboys.
All right. So obviously Magic Johnson, Jim Brown. I think I would go with Jim Brown just because he could whoop Magic Johnson's ass.
No doubt.
O.J. Simpson, Marcus Allen. I saw on a list that Bill Walton was also number 32.
Yeah, but I might have mentioned it.
I'm not a fan of his. He annoys the shit out of me when he's calling some of those late night Pac-12 basketball games out west.
He does is fucking go to sleep then.
Right. All he does is talk some stupid
garbage
shit.
Garbage games.
Well, sometimes late at night, you got the money riding on that West Coast games. You don't ever
miss them. Hey, that's still green money. I got you. I just don't watch it. That's all.
Those LSU Tigers, Webb, coming off the national championship, were big time players, big game players. We talk about it all the time. We called the LSU Tigers. I even put up on our Facebook and our Twitter and our Instagram from August, episode number 4, Brett Favre episode. Wow. We didn't even call things like that back then.
We weren't that advanced.
Right. Episode number 4, Smith says, take the 25-1. My buddy Jeremy has been on Facebook. He wants to give his shit because you were like, no way. That ain't happening. You even got it on the audio there, the replay of the audio. LSU 25-1 back then.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good call. Good call by you. That's all right. I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl.
I don't remember that one. But I'll have to go back. I'll have to go look. Maybe that's on one of the kicker podcasts, number 3. Podcast number 3.
Yeah.
So. I'll have to go back and look, but LSU
is Chad Arnold still hungover? Does he still have the Chupacabra mask on, or how's he doing?
You know, I hadn't heard from Chad Arnold. He asked me where I was watching the game the other day. I told him I'd be probably at Turtle Bay, but I never heard from him. So I don't know. I don't know if he had to wear his Mexican wrestler mask or what he was doing.
Did he do his best Jimmy Superfly Snuka impression to get it done?
Sure,
but listen, man, I got to give it up. They certainly took care of business there, and that was not a shabby team that they beat. That's a different animal than, different than Oklahoma. And, I mean, Ohio State, obviously, I thought would show a little bit better, but they proved that they were head and shoulders above the rest. So kudos to LSU and Coach O.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing season. I don't know where Chad Arnold ended up watching it. I don't know if he even recovered yet from – probably to party afterwards, I'll have to check in on him. Maybe he can check in after he hears about this podcast we're talking about. We're worried about Chad. We haven't heard from him for days. But it was an amazing season by LSU. I was listening to I'll give credit and props to all these stats to Mike and Mike. Not Mike Golick, the geeky Mike that was from Mike and Mike
Greenberg.
Yeah, Greenberg. Yeah, exactly. LSU accomplishes the Heisman Trophy winner. They won the Maxwell Award, the Walter Camp Award, the Davey O'Brien Award, the Biletnikoff, the Jim Thorpe, the Frank Broyles, and the Coach of the Year. They beat 7 of the top 10 teams. They beat 4 of the top 5 preseason teams. Their last
I'll stop you there. That doesn't mean shit. Preseason don't mean shit.
Okay, well, what do those
awards mean? They won the best quarterback, the best defensive back.
Yeah, best wide receiver, coach of the year, and a whole bunch of other shit. I don't know.
Right.
I'm telling you what
Jim
the deal Thorpe
is. What, defensive back?
Yeah, maybe. Biletnikoff, I would imagine, is like wide receiver, right?
Receiver, yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And maybe the Heisman, maybe the Maxwell or one of those is like for the best quarterback, too, or something.
If you wouldn't piss Perrone off, I'd have him. He would have all the shit for me if you don't dominate the whole call on some New Orleans shit.
Dude, it's the national championship. Well, I'll be happy to talk to Jets. You want to talk to Jets? You're up there. Come with your stats.
You're going to talk about how you're crying about Drew Brees or something.
No, well, I wasn't even going to talk about Drew Brees today.
I mean,
you brought it up, but I just want to finish my little spurt about how good and dominating this LSU Tigers team was. All right, and we'll talk about the Jets. We'll talk about the Jets if you. They beat seven top 10 teams. Beat four top 10 teams. Their last three games, they beat Oklahoma, Georgia, and Clemson. They beat Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Those teams combined for a 60-4 record. They beat them by an average total of 19.6 points. Unbelievable.
Those teams only lost four games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. They had in 15 games, they never trailed in the fourth quarter. And they only trailed once by double digits, and that was in the game against Clemson the other night. And from the time they were down 17-7, they outscored Clemson 35-8.
Yeah, we could do math.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to sell you. This might be one of the best teams in history.
Oh, here we go. Here's the hyperbole.
One of the best teams in history. I'm just saying. I mean, it was dominating. Do you not agree it was dominating? I said they would win. I said they would cover. They got down. Everybody was stressing out in the first quarter. Stressing out in the first quarter. Oh, this offense isn't going.
I ain't mad at him.
The offense isn't going. The first two drives, they got the ball at the 3-yard line. Dominant performance.
I was curious to see how they'd react.
Well, they reacted.
Worried. They just had, like you said, they hadn't been down. We knew from Clemson's past performances that if they were down, they would be composed at least. That's all.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried. I wasn't concerned. I don't think, you know.
Yep. You texted me a couple times, and I was like, dude, it's cool. Everything's cool. Don't worry. Don't sweat this. They got it. But anyway, I just want to say LSU had a great season. It was a great weekend here in New Orleans. Clemson fans showed out big time. LSU fans showed out big time. We had a good time here in New Orleans last. So I won't talk, but it does get me a little sad that this is one more step closer to the end of football season is what that usually means after this game.
Only three more games. Really down. It's only a couple things to look at now. Yeah, right. It sucks.
Only three more games left. We got the two league championship games and the Super Bowl. That's it. And then, you know, obviously, don't forget, people, check out our Instagram, our Facebook, our Instagram and Twitter for sure for our daily picks on hockey, NBA basketball, MLB once that starts up again, and NBA. But speaking of MLB, some big news out of Major League Baseball this week, Webb.
Yeah, I mean, at first I kind of downplayed that whole situation. A little bit of that was kind of a little bit of gamesmanship. You know, we talked about this on some past podcasts. You know, if you're on second base, you're going to give the batter a high sign. You know, there's a two down there, a one. You think it's going to be a curveball or it's going to be inside or outside. I'm all for that type of, you know, help or whatever you want to say. But what's going, I mean, it's just when it's a systematic, you know, like an organizational wide, you know, I don't know if conspiracy is the right word or not, but these guys were just doing everything they can to not turn, like, I mean, look what happened. The jobs are lost, high level jobs, major repercussions in terms of the Astros for sure, and draft picks and everything like that. And then it comes out, everybody gets fired. But I think the crazier thing about it is I saw something today, like even the owners are pissed that it wasn't enough type thing, or, you know, even how it almost the trickle down effect or the checker effect, the domino effect of how it affected everybody else, particularly the Dodgers, I think were real fucking upset about it. And CC Sabathia came out today, said they were kind of robbed. I don't know. It's almost like, you know, Gaylord Perry with some Vaseline or something, how big of an advantage it is. But at that level, it's obviously a huge deal. And it's disheartening at the very least, and, you know, bunch of bullshit, fucking scumbag bullshit at the worst. And now, even, you know, kind of home here, Mets fans, Beltran was like the major player implicated in that. And he's the coach now of the fucking Mets. So it's another debacle that goes down. It could only be worse if he would be coaching the Jets. That's the only way it could be worse. So,
right. Maybe we'd actually talk about the Jets then. Nick would be happy to keep listening to the show a little bit.
Right.
But
I'm upset about it. It's you know, as we grew up, we're old school guys. I'm sure is, you know, wallowing in his bong as we speak. But It's bullshit. I don't think it's necessary, and I did downplay the advantage that it gave. Even not that steroids, it wasn't the huge advantage in terms of hitting. You still got to hit the ball, but in regrouping and recovering from a 162 game schedule, stuff like that, it's certainly an advantage. But it sucks. I mean, it's the worst thing you want to hear. And baseball, it's just another kind of black eye type thing. I was talking to somebody today. I was in the industry. I worked for the Mets and the Yankees when signage behind home plate signage came out back. I guess I want to say the mid-90s, mid to early 90s. And then they went on strike, and it just a bad taste. To this day, I'm still kind of a little bit bitter about baseball. And now this bullshit comes out. It's just another, fuck baseball, at this point. That are cheating and I don't know. It's upsetting.
Right. It's just weird. As long as there's signs and signals, it should be no problem with somebody stealing signs and signals from the other side of the dugout. But when you're using modern day technology to do it, TV cameras that the other teams can't get to or whatever, just once it takes to that new level, I think it takes it to a different level. But I think baseball was pretty stern, I thought, and kudos to the teams, but I guess they probably did the easiest thing for them, as opposed to waiting around for the GM and the manager to come back from a 1-year suspension and almost put your team on hiatus for a year. You just fire the bastards, you pay your fine, you move on without them. There's other coaches, there's other GMs you can hire out there. Obviously, Cora from the Red Sox lost his job. Good chance maybe Beltran once he.
I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. Right. But I get that. The fine is meaningless. The fine is meaningless. That's nothing. But it's just the integrity of the game now, and especially now sports gambling's legal all over the place. It just brings a shroud and everything. I mean, obviously we're here to promote sports gambling. We are all about a level playing field. And like you said, listen, if you're going to steal a sign, if you're on second base, like I said, and the guy puts down a two, you think he's going to throw a curveball, and you see the catcher leaning inside, you're going to give your batter the high, tilt your head inside, fine. That's all part of the game. But once it's a systematic, organizational, when you're meeting and, having people go out to center field or wherever it is, the worst side of analytics, you're going to legitimately cheat, steal stuff. It you can't have it. But I did read a couple articles today where Rob Manfredi, the commissioner, had this closed door or whatever you want to call it, conference call with all the teams. And there was just a bunch of expletives showing. And he just said, no one can comment on this. This is it. This is the end of it. And there's several owners, more than a handful, that were irate at the outcome of this. And what we think as a fan, like you said, that it was a pretty stern thing, but it was a bunch of bullshit, which is another upsetting. It just seems a cover up type thing.
Right. They just did what they had to do. And let's not talk about this again and move on.
Right. You guys can't say anything. This is going to come out as a perceived big hit. And then, right, no one says shit and that's it. I mean, vacating something, they do that in college basketball, I guess, is what mostly we see that. But so what does that do?
But that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean
right.
anything.
What does that do for the Dodgers, Yankees, those handful of teams that got beat by this, like I said, like a systematic organizational design to, manipulate the outcomes. It's fixing games. It's what it's almost paramount to. So we are not for that in any way, shape, or form.
All right. So just wanted to touch on based on that a little bit. Obviously, it won't be long now before pitchers and catchers start reporting stuff like that. Maybe another month or two and stuff like that. So, you know what else? Marty Johnson told me this week. I say stuff and all that stuff too much, and I just said it a couple times. So I'm going to try and eliminate that. Marty, thank you for bringing that up. I'll try and stop saying and all that stuff and stuff like that. As my, Sharon says and stuff like that, I say that too much. And then Marty Johnson told me the other day I say something about stuff the other too much. I wrote it down here, but I can't. But
it's Sharon's fault.
We're working on it. Sharon tells me I say that too much, too.
Okay.
No, she doesn't say it. Everything she says is perfect because it's not on a microphone. So I can't critique that shit. But to get back to the national championship for just a second, our old friend OBJ, Odell Beckham, showed up to the game, LSU. I guess he was handing out cash to the guys and acting like a fool. They have videos of him in the locker room afterwards acting like an idiot. What's the deal with this guy, Webb?
Now, again, anytime you want to kind of give this guy a break, like maybe it was Coughlin's fault, maybe it was the Giants organization, and then, you know, he was kind of quiet in Cleveland. Now, here we go. You know, the glory of LSU, you know, let him do anything to steal a little bit of that limelight, that spotlight. Not only that, he's giving money, legitimate money, to players on the sideline. Now, this is a Division I athlete who was recruited since the time he was, I don't know, 9 years old, 8 years old. I don't know. He knows all the ins and outs of what you can do. Joe Burrow comes out on whatever he was and says, oh, I'm no longer a player athlete. I can accept money. So right there. So what does that mean for the other, you know, 99 guys out there? What does that mean? We mentioned a guy, Singletary Jr., whatever, who was a freshman all pro. What does that mean for his eligibility? Some guys are just dickheads, and this dude is just a dickhead. Anytime you cut him a break, he just proves that you're wrong. It's your fault for giving him a break, not his. A dick is a dick.
Yep. Yep. Such an asshole. This is such a big night for LSU. I mean, I tell you, I knew it. I knew it the minute they showed him on a sideline before the game. I was like, why have this dude? Why have this dude there? They had like Marcus Spears, former LSU great defensive lineman, played in the NFL. He was all on the pregame shows, driving people around, showing people beignets, showing all kinds of city, really being a good liaison for the city and the state of Louisiana and everything. That really the whole day leading up to that was a commercial for New Orleans. It was great to see. And this dude is just a plain jerk, man. Just an asshole.
He took all that away. He just turned 180'd that and turned it into a bunch of scumbags, you know, money grabbing. Instagram, whatever you want to call it. Look at me, right. Look at me, look at me. Let me leech off of the success of my alma mater, you know, type right. thing. It was right. horrible. I don't blame him. He has a right to be there. He was a big part of the program, no doubt. Whatever. He did bring first round draft picks, but just like act like a gentleman, act like a human being, and do what Mark or just sit stand there, just jump, you know, smack the guys on the helmet, smack them on the backside, great fucking job, and go to Bourbon Street and do your thing.
Right, right, just a jerk. I mean, like you say, every time you try and give him like all right, maybe he got misunderstood in New York, so they shipped him out. Okay, maybe he was in a bad situation in Cleveland, and he's not really his fault, but time and time again, if it smells like an asshole and acts like an asshole and quacks like a duck, it's a goddamn duck.
Right. If it's waddles and quacks, it's a fucking duck, no doubt. Right.
So, OBJ.
I just think it sailed, you know what I mean? Right.
And, I mean, honestly, after what he did the other day, if Coach O, I would never have him around the organization.
Well, that's damage done type thing. Well, he's not around on Alabama Day. He's not around on when, you know, he ain't going to be around if you go 6-5. He's gonna be he ain't gonna be in Louisiana if you're 6-5. He's not gonna be there rooting on the troops. He's not gonna be there rallying the guys. He's not gonna be there recruiting the next quarterback. He ain't gonna be there unless you're in the national championship. His ass is gonna be on TV. Period. The end.
So just wanted to bring that up. All right, we got some big games last week in the NFL. Obviously, we can move on to the NFL a little bit and just talk about the games from last week. We had Baltimore in the over. That obviously didn't work out too hot.
That's a great, you know, kudos to Vrabel and Derrick Henry is a stud, and that there's never been a more, you know, we were arguing or hoping for New Orleans to get the bye, but that's just an example where that was just too long of a layoff for these dudes. I mean, especially the young quarterback.
I think it's just, man, it's, you know, I kind of railed about how the game, I had a whole rant last week about how the game is changing and the mobile quarterbacks are coming on and the pocket passers aren't doing shit. And sure enough, man, they come out the most mobile of them all gets just shut down. Now we got Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes and Jimmy G are in the final round of the playoffs.
All have wheels. Tannehill has wheels. I mean, he weren't too off. I mean, he played like shit. But it's funny. You see what the cornerback or the safety came out and said, "We're just chokers," and that's what they do. They're you know, what you call the Saints, regular season heroes, whatever you want to call them. They did the same shit last year.
Yep, yep.
They were anointed before they earned anything.
Right. It's just man.
So I was upset. I'm glad they lost. I'm not a Ravens fan. I'm not a Harbaugh fan, I guess I should say. Lamar Jackson, he's a tremendous season. He deserves whatever he gets. But I'm glad they lost. So now, this is kind of, for them, Tennessee anyway, I think you know, that slipper, it's time for that slipper to break.
So. Yeah, I was thinking that too. It might be the end of the Cinderella road right here for these guys.
I don't know if there's an easier game to pick at this level, at this point in a long time.
But I'll tell you, man, it just shows time and time again, man, in the playoffs, and this is kind of what I touched on about the Saints last week, in the playoffs, man, the playoffs are just for freaking men, dude. It's just for men. And the finesse dies in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, my pushback there is going to be, you know, I'm not the biggest Andy Reid fan, certainly in the playoffs, but that was a remarkable, you know, situation on that comeback. But, you know, we joked about, I think after we talked, they were down, I guess, was it 24? I think he ran the ball four times
right. The
rest of the game. The
right.
game.
Because we had Seattle and the over, I mean, Kansas City and the over in that game. So I think when it was 24-0, I said, I don't really care. Just get me a split. If they're up 24-0, we're going to get – I want to get the over. And he said, listen, this game's going over. This game's going over. Yeah, this game's definitely going over.
Right. At that point, right, the split is guaranteed.
Right. And it actually went – we had no idea.
Go ahead. No, San Francisco kind of showed up. It seems that Shanahan learned from that experience as the OC for the – Falcons, although I did think it could have run the ball a little bit more to kind of earn parts of that, but they're tough too. But that cornerback, they can be beat on in the secondary if you can give somebody some time up front. But the Packers Aaron Rodgers, we're kind of waiting for Rodgers to kind of show up. He did drop a couple dimes in there. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm looking at the lines already dropped here on that Chiefs game, which shocks me. So it's going to be fun, you know.
So, I mean, Derrick Henry, dude, he's a freaking monster. Beast, dude. Absolute beast.
It just showed, it goes back, like, well, you know, against what you said, it's if you can run the ball, this dude single-handedly has taken them to this point from, I don't know, certainly the playoff games, and I would even venture to say since, I don't know, week 14, something like that. So four, five, six games, he has single-handedly brought them to this point.
Right. And Tannehill, I don't think he's thrown over 100 yards in either of the playoff games, but he's made some big throws when he's had to make them.
7 for 7.
Right. And he's made some big throws, man. and he can also take off with it around the edge when he absolutely needs to.
That's the other thing. You got it right. And he could steal a couple first downs and keep drives going. And then you got to respect that. And that just opens up the other, you know, the whole thing. But those guys who caught those touchdown passes, the one dude, I don't even think, played only three games during the season. The other guy had no touchdown catches. So they're on a little bit of a, you know, whatever you want to call it, a dream scenario. So, but good for them. Again, they're well coached. They play well, and good for Tannehill. I was never down. I mean, I doubted him just his first round status, but I was anti Tannehill, and he earned himself a shit ton of money. He's gonna look. He's looking at, you know, seven figures this time this September for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I think for them, I mean, it's for this game coming up with them, it's going to be the typical, like, how long will you be able to continue running the ball when Mahomes is back there going up and down the field, or if they'll be able to slow down Mahomes or keep him off the field a little bit?
I mean, that's the scenario. There's no way. There is no fucking way that this dude is. I mean, you got to almost Travis Kelce's beating double teams, you know, like it's nothing. So if he's going to be, that's two guys. I mean, they're looking really good. But what's his name? Chris Edwards or one of the defensive linemen was hurt. When he came back, they played well for the Chiefs. I'm talking about. If he's out, that may impact it. But I mean, this is a lower spread, and I think this is probably twice as hard of a hurdle to get over compared to Baltimore. And I'm not disrespecting what Baltimore accomplished, but this is. I mean, this team was here last year. In this stadium, got beat on a penalty by a player who's no longer on the team. If D4 doesn't go offside, they probably beat the Patriots last season. So that's another taste in their mouth. That's going to be a very, very, very difficult game for them. Depend the weather too. It's I don't know how many, you know, blue and light blue jerseys you're going to see in that sea of red there in that stadium. And Mahomes is just ridiculous. And them being down was not his fault. Even Kelce dropped passes. The one dude dropped.
Yeah, early on they didn't get anything going, but those dudes are just dropping the balls.
Yeah, I mean, the one dude dropped two or three, and he kept dropping. But then Kelce got five. fire. And, you know, it was obviously we all saw it. But
what a crazy game that was.
7 or 51-7 after 24-0, whatever the number was. Like,
yeah, it was 24-0.
Like, they scored like 9 times in a row. This isn't you know, Alabama against, you know.
Right. At one point, I think they had 7 straight touchdown drives. It might have been more.
I thought it was I thought I heard 9. They scored 9 times in a row. 9 possessions. I don't know if that math, but even it's called 7. That's still ridiculous in a second round of the playoffs.
So, I mean, that was just a wild game. You know, when we texted early on, it was 24-0, and I was just happy. I was like, well, at least we'll get the over. We can split this game. And, man, by the halftime, they were over, and already Kansas City had the lead. They had the lead.
Yep, winning.
Oh,
I mean, that was crazy.
And then Seattle, man, I kind of thought they were going to pull it through in the end. Aaron Rodgers, like you said, made a couple big plays. It was like he had one receiver. They just couldn't stop Devontae Adams. They just could not stop him.
He's huge, and if you give him some time, and you know, he's had a subpar season, Aaron Rodgers, I'm talking about, pardon me. But he seemed to get a little bit on track. This game kind of worries me for them, for him. I'm still not confident. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but I've heard some stats. If you compare the Packers and the Niners from back in the, I'm going to go back to the Harbaugh days, they have the same, they almost have the same amount of Super Bowl appearances, the same amount of playoff appearances. So that was a kind of a funky stat that I heard someone mention. I mean, I'll get Perel to dig into that a little bit. But the Packers, I think we kind of, I don't know, maybe put them a little bit higher than they deserve to be. And Rodgers did not have a great season. Their defense is up and down. Their running game is up and down. But, you know, first year coach, here they are. Then they're a shot to be in the Super Bowl. So,
right. We'll see how it turns out. We'll be, like I say, delving into those games a little more in a little few minutes. Obviously, Minnesota was just outmatched by the Niners. I think if there was one team that looked like a team that was coming off a really emotional win the week before and going into a place where a team had a bye week and just looked way fresher and more ready to play, that was the game.
Yeah, it's funny too, because you looked. I saw Zimmer as he actually outcoached Sean Payton the week prior, and then he just had no answers for the Niners at all. I don't know why Anthony Barr is covering guys, you know, 35 yards down the field type thing. They almost, like you said, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was the emotional thing. They just looked completely outclassed and didn't even kind of belong. They came back and scored there. You thought, oh, maybe we'll be in this, and then they just. You know, it was a thoroughbred against a standard bred there after, you know, 25 minutes into the game, whatever you want to say.
Yep. So I think even what overshadowed in that game a little bit was I thought Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play real well. I think he came out kind of early, and at one point he got hit pretty hard, and from that point on he threw a pick to the linebacker at one point, I think before the half, I want to say, or something. And then that dude almost got back in the line of the pass coverage a couple times. Really didn't play as good in the second half, but with 49ers defense and with their running game, they were able to kind of get past that. But Jimmy G is going to have to make some plays against Aaron Rodgers. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to temper that Rodgers thing at this point. He's got not that he has anything to prove, but I still have that San Diego game in the back of my mind where he just completely sucked. And Garoppolo, that he hit with that ankle or whatever that thing got rolled up on. That was ugly. It looked ugly. So I don't know. The Niners, to me, they looked well coached. They kind of overcame some sluggishness, some whatever jitters type thing, whatever you want to call it. Their weakness to me is certainly the secondary, aside from maybe Jimmy Ward. But I don't know, man. I'm torn here. I'm not the biggest Niners fan. I would certainly love to root for the Packers. But Aaron Rodgers, that was the best game I think he's played since, I don't know, midseason maybe or maybe all season. But he hit the throws when he needed to throw, that he needed to hit. And that was – he didn't do that all season. It's typically the defense lets them down or whatever. There's no running game or whatever it is. And none of that happened. And they beat them, you know, they beat them kind of, you know, good enough. It wasn't really close there at the end, but I don't know what to do about that game. So we'll talk about it later. But Aaron Rodgers is not, I was not impressed yet.
All right. During the playoff games, they had a couple little announcements for the NFL Hall of Fame. I know two of our favorite guys ever in football kind of were blindsided during the day at their analyst jobs. You, obviously, a huge Jimmy Johnson fan, and me, Bill Cowher, with the Steelers growing up. Both were kind of surprised and told that they were going to be in a Hall of Fame. Webb, what'd you think about those?
I mean, it was phenomenal, obviously. Needless to say, I love Jimmy Johnson. I loved him at Miami. And then, obviously, my Cowboys' love for him is endless. I thought about you. I knew you had three boxes of Kleenex with you. But the thing for me was, Aikman in the box was kind of crying. And then seeing what Michael Irvin obviously said, and I'm a huge Darren Woodson fan. I think he's been robbed of his Hall of Fame status, and he just had ridiculously good things to say about Jimmy Johnson. My opinions are similar to all theirs. There's just silly ego, money, ridiculousness that would have stopped the Cowboys from winning at least two more Super Bowls at that point. Stop me from 10. But, yeah, I love Jimmy John. I'm happy for him. It was very emotional, but, I'm like, dude, stop fucking crying. Put the game on. You know what I mean?
Come on, man. Have a heart. Your boy Aikman was crying. But anyway, my buddy.
By the way, he's a bank, motherfuckers.
My man, Bill Cowher from the Steelers. Both of these guys well deserved. Great guys. Seemed to be great. They were great coaches. Had great teams. Long time ago. Not even that long ago. Not even our youngest years.
Jimmy deserved it more than Bill Cowher did.
All right, whatever, man. If you can't coach Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin to a couple Super Bowls, something wrong with you.
It's not the point. He drafted those guys.
Whatever. Jerry Jones. Jones was in charge of that shit. Jerry Jones is in charge of that shit.
What happened when he came up against Jimmy Johnson?
Okay.
No problem.
Right. Whatever, man. I think they both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. You can say one more than the other. One more.
You got a point. You got a point. Dallas was better then. What was that, the 90s and shit?
Well, how long did Cowher coach?
A long time, because he took over after Chuck Knoll. It was one of those deals where the Steelers, kind of like the Cowboys, have only had a couple few coaches in their whole time. It was like Chuck Knoll, and then Bill Cowher was forever, and then Tomlin took over for Cowher, I believe.
He's been there for, right. Yeah, I think he did, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's, yeah, they had much
so, I mean, you're talking about since the 70s, they've had three coaches.
Yeah. I guess he was there. Okay, that gets him more, even more in my eyes. But he deserved it. I'm not saying that.
All right. So we had a couple things I just wanted to clear up from. So we got some of our listeners chimed in on a couple things. I already said Jeremy Wiley wanted me to give Webb some shit about him not believing in LSU early in the season. So I wanted to make sure we covered that. Also, Scott Wheatley mentioned that the LeCompton Derby going on at some of the Derby pre-races and prep races are going on. We might want to start covering some horse racing a little bit.
I would love to.
I might even talk to Scott and see if he wants to write a little blog for us or something like that once a week about do some horse racing stuff. So what are we looking at?
We're starting to talk about the Kentucky Derby's when?
May.
Yes, but there's all those prelims running up. Right. Monmouth Park here doesn't open until, maybe March.
Right, so at the fairgrounds, at the fairgrounds here in New Orleans, they had all the races leading up to the Louisiana Derby, and that those horses usually end up going Kentucky Derby. So maybe I'll get Scott to do some local stuff for the for our blog or something like that. So
we got the Trotters of Meadowlands are open here, so yeah, we could. I would love to. Yeah,
right. Start looking at that. And then Todd Lewis reached out. Also, he had a little issue with our 31s last week. We talked about Jamal Lewis. Who was our 31 that we ended up? Maddox, Greg Maddox, I think, was the 31 that we ended up
Maddox,
going with.
Yeah, Maddox, yeah.
Obviously. Well, obviously, Todd is the Eagles lover, so he said, you guys didn't bring up Wilbur Montgomery. Well, Todd, that's because a great Eagle does not make you a great player. I like Wilbur Montgomery as a player. He's not worthy of the Wager Makers jersey number.
Not by a long shot, so, right?
But we do appreciate you listening and noticing. And he said he had us on a long road trip and he had to listen to a few episodes. But he was upset that Wilbur Montgomery didn't get any love on number 31. And
well,
that's because
be
if this was a local Philly show, maybe number 31 would be Wilbur Montgomery.
Right. No Wilbur Montgomery on this.
Right. So a couple retirements. This guy's starting to pop up. The free agency will be coming up before we know it. Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers, retired at age. This guy's been a good player, man.
Really. Oh, he was defensive player of the year. I mean, is that straight CTE type thing? Is that for sure?
I think he's had a bunch of concussions. I don't know, you know, what if he's just getting out while he can, or what the deal is. But certainly, it's got to do with injuries. Probably just trying to get out while the getting's good, man. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean,
he's
a baller,
right? No. From playing against the Saints twice a year, I got to see him play a lot. This dude, man, came to play every day. He was a hard hitting dude, man. So
nah, ridiculous. Yeah, right. Boston College, I think he went to. Yeah, I mean, it's good for him. Smart. I mean, listen, he got in there, he made his money, he played. Did they win a Super Bowl? They definitely played.
No, they lost the Super Bowl, I believe. They lost with Cam.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, certainly. And then the only other time Carolina's been in the Super Bowl was when Jake Delhomme brought him against the Patriots a while back. I don't think that Kuechly was around.
He may have been. Career.
Right.
No, I don't think so at that point. But, hey, I don't blame him. Listen, if you feel like it's going to affect your health, the dude's got, you know, more money than, you know, I'll ever see. So good for him. But I don't know what's going on. That franchise, I'm not sure what they're doing there. That's just another kind of hit for them. They're uncertain of quarterback. I don't know how they're going to bring in Joe Brady. That to me makes no sense. Given Rule, not hiring him was a bad thing. Giving the guy $7 million for how many ever years?
Yeah, I think it's a long contract. It might be like an 8-year contract or something long.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was like $56 million, right? Again, that to me makes no sense, especially with the uncertainty you have going on. You're asking it's good for him. I don't begrudge anybody for making money, but I'm not sure what's going on there. You, as a Saints fan, I would certainly kind of eliminate them for a year or two to begin with. Especially with Kuechly being gone, they have no quarterback. I guess Cam is still signed, right? Is he signed?
Yeah, I think he's still there, but
he's under contract.
Man, I just think Cam's got too much tread on his tires to play ball still.
And now he's got, yeah, but now there's no one there. The talent is drained. And again, we've talked about the lack of success of these college coaches coming in. So I would dismiss them certainly for a year or two at this point. So that's a good thing for you.
Right. But you mentioned the Brady leaving. He was kind of like an integral part of this LSU offensive explosion this year. And now they pull him away and bring him over to the offensive. I don't know if he's going to be the offensive coordinator or what kind of coach he's going to be over here at Carolina. But he learned a lot under Sean Payton. So we'll see how that all irons out. But
that was a classic knee jerk thing. I mean, good for him. Again, I don't begrudge anybody moving up in the world and making money, but ridiculously silly, in my opinion. He wasn't even calling the fucking plays. So I don't know how. Again, we anoint these guys immediately. It's just the world we live in these days. Well, you know, all I can say is we'll see. We'll
see. Carolina's gonna now they have a college head coach.
You're looking good. That's one team, and you're looking at Tampa Bay is no good and Carolina is no good. So if as long as Atlanta doesn't snap back, regardless of who your quarterback is, you're in a decent spot to win that division next year, as we stand right now.
Well, we'll see what happens. But obviously a college coach as the head coach, and then your offensive coordinator is a guy. I mean, he barely was a Saints assistant a year ago.
He didn't call the plays.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He barely was a Saints assistant. And then he was like the assistant to the assistant in LSU. So we'll see.
And, right. I mean,
we'll see
again,
how it turns out.
Typically,
like he might be an upstart, up and coming young mind, but damn, dude, an NFL coordinator job is a whole different ballgame.
What is right. Watch out what you wish for. Yeah, so again, I think it's ridiculous that that team is going, in my opinion, will be nowhere, certainly this year or the next couple years. And again, by the time they get it figured out, the patient is going to run out. So they'll be ended up paying another coach money. So I'm glad I'm not a Carolina fan at this point, but I could be proven wrong, obviously.
All right. So let's move on and start looking at these games coming up this week, Webb, with the numbers.
Funniest thing ever. Again, yeah. Jason Garrett. All over the New York papers, going to the Giants as the OC.
Is that still a story?
Bigger story than it's ever been. I can't wait. I love it. I fucking awesome. Love it.
That's awesome.
Fucking love it.
Oh, wait till him and Danny Dimes start taking over the Cowboys.
Danny douchebag Dimes, that's right. Yeah, you'll be great between the 20s. Play for you. Better get a good kicker.
Oh boy, I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought that was just like a fad for a few days.
I thought it was a joke. Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah.
All right, Webb. Let's look at these numbers.
Ah, wait. Don't dismiss. All
right.
The silliness down in New Orleans yet again. What's up with your boy Zion? Is he fucking?
Oh,
Xanax on the sideline? What's going on?
Dude, he fell asleep at the game the other day. I'm so pissed, too, because he started practicing the last couple weeks, and me and Gargiulo are going to the game tomorrow night. We're sitting courtside tomorrow night.
He won't be back for the 22nd.
So I'm like, man, Zion's going to be playing. It's going to be freaking awesome. And then now they're saying he's going to play it on the 22nd. That's when he's going to play.
Okay, well, forget that. How are you going to fall asleep on the bench and during a game? First of all, the lights are on. Like, dude, how fucking tired can he be? He's 19 years old.
That shit gets boring sometimes, man.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right.
I was looking at the film of that. I'm not sure he fell asleep. He might have just been.
He went to Duke.
He was resting his eyes. He was resting his eyes.
Yeah, right. He was meditating. Okay.
he was trying to see the ball, be the ball.
Right. He was breathing through his eyelids like a Galapagos. Yeah.
He was, what do they call that when they're like visioning the play?
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. Sure. Yeah, I forgot about Zion. And yeah, me and Gargiulo are going to the game tonight. Tomorrow night, we're all pumped up. Like, oh man, Zion's coming out. It's going to be a first game. And then they announced today that the 22nd, they're going to wait to the 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well.
All right. You want to
make some picks?
Let's do it.
Only two games.
Yeah, it sucks.
Who are we taking?
And they're both Sunday, right? We got 3:05 and 6:40 I'm looking at here. I mean, first game, Kansas City, this is easy, -7. They are going to beat them and beat them good. -7 and over 53. We've mentioned several times about how Tennessee does go over. I don't know that they're going to even play that game. They can't play that game and be in. They're going to hand – he's got to catch the ball, Derrick Henry, 35 times. He's got 35 handoff. If they get the ball second, the game is over. I'm all over the Chiefs -7. I don't know why it's gone from 7.5 to 7. I typically hate to kind of go the other way on those numbers. This is not a hard pick for me.
All right. I have no problem with the Chiefs. I mean, we're either going to go one – either you're going to sit here and say, look, Tennessee is just going to run the ball all day long and score half the time and eat up the clock and keep the ball away from KC. But KC, who can stop – they're not going to be able to stop them. And so once they're up 10, 14 points, it's the playoffs. You got to start doing some shit.
Kansas City gets a ball, it goes up 7-0. Forget it. It's done. I mean, the only way maybe Tennessee gets the ball and they can score 7, and maybe it'll take Tennessee a drive or two to score. Excuse me, KC a drive or two to score. But I out of the four teams left, the team that I would like to see win the Super Bowl is the Tennessee Titans. But I don't see after how they did it, Kelce beating a double team time after time. And it's not even like they protect Mahomes well. And then he'll throw it to the running back. He'll throw it to – I mean, if these guys don't have 8 drops, 9 drops, it's not even going to be close in the first half. That's one thing, you know, we forget. That it wasn't Mahomes' fault. The dudes were hit. He's getting between the numbers. The one dude, right. I think, had 3 drops. So this is way, way, way easy for me.
All right. I like it. You have any feel about the total in that one?
I mean – I'd have to go. You can't go on. They scored fucking 51 points. You got to go. I'm on. You got to go over, but the heavy lean is the Chiefs. I mean, even the Chiefs 35-17 that's only 52. So, I would lean over, but the Chiefs is the pick for me in this one.
All right, big time Chiefs. We're going big on the Chiefs. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to go big on the Chiefs, I think. Then you got the Packers go to the 49ers. What's that number at?
7.5 and 45.
You think the Packers put enough pressure to make Aaron Rodgers look like crap, or does he step up?
This is a tough one. I mean, I'm, you know, coming from where we come from and how we've grown up, we've seen Rodgers, you know, play well always. But when you dive deep in numbers, like I said, that one stat kind of struck me. You know, these teams are kind of even in terms of historically playoffs and playoff wins, Super Bowl appearances, blah, 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 since those Harbaugh days. 7.5 is a huge number. I'm not a Niner fan. You know, to begin, I'm looking for an excuse to take the Packers, to be totally honest with everybody. buying into 8. That means they're up 15, something like that at the end. I would go Packers here plus the points. But I'm not sold.
I'm kind of into taking the home team and buying that half a point the other way.
That kind of works for me. So just one.
I can also
convince myself into, you know, it's only one score. They're gonna win. I could see Bosa
making Aaron Rodgers look kind of pedestrian in this game.
Well, here's the thing I ask myself too, or I'll ask you, is would you be shocked if the Packers won?
No, of course not. It's Aaron Rodgers. I would not be shocked.
Would you be shocked if the Titans won?
I'd be pretty shocked if the Titans won.
Correct.
Correct answers?
No, I'm not correct. I'm just.
No, I agree. I see what you're saying.
Playing through in my head. I'm with you. We're trying to figure it out. I don't know that. Having said that, I have a feeling my
hatred toward Aaron Rodgers is showing up in my heart is messing with my head. I have a hatred for Aaron Rodgers.
He's broken my heart several times being a Cowboy fan. Cowboys can't beat him, certainly in the playoffs and on the road in what a Cowboy State, 18 State, whatever it is. So the Cowboys, he's broke my heart more than once. I'll kick it back. My lean is, you know, take 8. So that, and my thought process there, I wouldn't be shocked if the Packers won, A. And second of all, you kind of got to be up and have the ball or have the ball by, you know, over 14 at that last couple minutes. So,
all right.
My thought process. Kick it back. What do you think?
I think that defense at home is tough. I think they can get pressure. I think they can get pressure on. And man, what is up with Sherman? He looks like the slowest, sorriest cornerback of all time, and he still comes up with big plays.
Yeah. Well, he's smart. He's savvy. But the other dude is horrendous.
He got benched last couple games. He keeps getting put back in and benched.
Correct. So I mean, but you're talking one PI away from giving Aaron Rodgers 7 points type thing. There's no doubt this defensive line is good. The front seven is good. They can run the ball. I'm a big Emmanuel Sanders fan. Kittle's obviously is, you know, enough said. Garoppolo has got one under his belt. He will, I would assume, play better. Their offensive line is pretty good. There's investment there. But
I'll take Aaron Rodgers plus 7.5, 8 points.
All right, let's do that.
With the stipulation, if I'm just going to go on record right now, is saying the Chiefs is our play of the week. The Chiefs minus 7 right. is our and play. If you're in trouble, if you want to double down, if you want to go big, I say go with the Chiefs and then just be careful with the rest. See how that goes and be careful.
Hit the Chiefs early, then you got to bet half. Bet half of the winnings on the next. If you want, go the other way. But my pick, there's a couple things going in the way of the Packers to cover. So that total 45, I could see it going over. I could see it staying under. I mean, what's 45 divided by 2? It's not even 24 each. My lean there is over. If you want to come in,
I kind of like the over in that game.
Yeah, maybe that's even.
It's a playoff game. They're going to start. Let's say Aaron Rodgers gets down by 14. Well, he's going to start throwing the ball all around a yard.
Right.
And he's either going to throw a pick six or he's going to throw right.
And those dudes are going to pin their ears back. Those defensive linemen, so they're it's going to be all out around the edge. So he's going down or he's throwing the ball to what's his name for yardage. I would look too, just on a side note, look for over in Davante Adams in catches and yardage. He is going to be targeted almost exclusively. And then also a secondary to that, look for Jimmy Graham's total catches. Because that's going to kind of lean that's going to leave him over the middle, over those linebackers. Jimmy Ward is a good safety. The corners we just talked about, we're not high on them. So he's going to be kind of one on one. He's humongous, 79 feet tall. So his total is going to be maybe 6 catches. So that's another couple ways to kind of hedge on that game as well.
Okay, sounds good. So we're going to go. Here's the deal: big on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then light on the Packers and the over.
That's right. Yep.
All right. That sounds good to me. All right. Anything else we wanted to cover today? I'll go big on the Chiefs. I'm going to do that shit right now. I might do that shit as soon as we get off the phone if that number's still 7.
I mean, yeah, I'm pulling it up right here. It's 7. And then, you know, we're going to get heavy after this into college hoops. It's going to be thick of that season. The NBA All-Star game is coming up, and we could, and the hockey as well. We can start talking about that stuff later in the season, kind of hone our picks down as we get closer about the bullshit that goes on in the now. What's his name on the Rockets who came from the OKC now is sitting down every other game. It's contagious. Yeah. So he doesn't play every other game either.
Nah. Now everybody wants rest.
So if,
rest
right, so if you get paid $35 million a year, you only play 41 games instead of 82 games. So good for them.
Everybody. Everybody sucks, period. Right. Society. Society. That's how you know when you're getting old, Webb, when you think everybody's a lazy bastard.
I hate everything. I hate everything.
It's not how they used to do it.
Right. And where he'd go uphill in snow and fucking then play basketball.
Walk the snow in bare feet.
Right.
And then play hoops. We go out and play hoops in the snow.
Right. Left handed with a hand behind his
back. All day until dark.
Right. Hey, man,
no lights.
I never forget Sweet Knot shoveling the court back in the day.
You did what you had to do, man.
Right. Yeah, these guys don't do that now. I've heard, it's funny, having said that, there's a guy on the Tar Heels, Tyler Zeller, going back a couple of years. He never played a game outside in his career.
Like in his life.
He's in North Carolina. It was his senior year. They played Michigan State, I forget it, on a Air Force carry, on a boat, a big-ass ship. And it's the first game he ever played outside. Can you imagine?
That's unbelievable. It's funny, like, and it's kind of true in kids' sports today, is they don't play any unorganized sports. Like, for us, we used to have two dudes, a bat, and a ball, and just walk outside and go play baseball.
Yeah, we grab some kid's sister.
Right. You're the catcher. Like, there's no catcher.
I'm going to pitch to Schmidt, and when it falls, pick it up and throw and roll it back if you have it. Just get the ball back to me somehow.
Right. So, I mean, now, if it's not organized baseball, it's not Little League, it's not, they don't go play.
And literally, everything is, you know, travel. So half these travel teams, if you play travel, you can't play on your school team. You even can't play Little League. So that's the newest thing. My little one's going through it now. It's crazy.
All right. I think we're just old. It seems this is a sign of getting old. When you start saying shit like this, Webb.
Right. Yeah. We're digressing. All right.
So everybody, thank you for listening. That's episode number 32. John Groh, thank you for the bumper music. We're getting into carnival season here in New Orleans, and he's got a new Mardi Gras single out, so check out John Papa Groh's Mardi Gras single. TuneIn Radio, iHeart Radio, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Check out all our picks on Sports Watch Monitor. Facebook, The Wager Maker Podcast, Twitter at The Wager Makers, Instagram at The Wager Makers. You can email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, all that stuff. Devin's going to let you know how to do YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Devin. All right, thank you all for listening. Webb, take us out.
Thanks, Debbie. Brick by brick, Schmidt. Here we go. Playoff football, baby.